part of the habits that I have about being proactive, about beginning with the end in mind. So set yourself a goal, first things first. So make sure that you look at the priorities in life. We have 168 hours a week, and we choose what we do with it. Not our partners, not our children, not our bosses, not our clients. We choose what we do with those 168 hours. People might be sitting there listening, thinking, yeah, but I have a boss and he wants me to come in 40 hours a week. Well, fair enough, but that means it leaves you 148 hours or 128 hours to do other stuff. And when you add all these things up, I think we need to become much more conscious about what we do with our time.
Yeah.
Because it's ours.
I totally agree.
And it's our choice.
Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit. Welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. The podcast is to get successful people on, just to talk about what inspires them, what motivates them, the successes and the challenges they faced in business, how they've overcome them, what they've learned along the way. It's a really practical podcast trying to offer real value to the listeners and things you can implement on a daily basis, things around business and strategy and habits, lifestyle, performance. Hi everyone, just before I start the podcast, I've got a slightly different layout to this one. I'm going to summarise the key points from the podcast now, slightly different to previous ones. So yeah, summarise the key points from it. That will then lead into the episode. So yeah, if you found value in doing it this way, then yeah, drop me a message, let me know what you thought, and obviously as always, what you found valuable. Before I go into that, just want to let you know I've got a free private Facebook group now called Brain, Brawn and Business Community. It's a group where I'm just offering free advice and content and more knowledge, clips from previous episodes, the full episodes, and articles and blogs, anything around business, mindset, nutrition, health, fitness, lifestyle, performance. So if you need help in any of those areas, then the group will certainly be of value to you. It's Brain, Brawn and Business Community. You can find it on Facebook. Request to join, answer a couple of questions, and then be a part of the community there. So on to the episode. Hugo, yeah, he's a great guy. He's just full of energy and enthusiasm to life and work. He's been in business a long time, so he was able to offer lots of great take-home points. The importance around work ethic, which is definitely a familiar theme with the people I've had on the podcast so far. Creating a positive and motivated company culture. By doing that, it's getting everyone involved in creating ideas and developing the business, how you can learn something from everyone in every encounter, and his win-win approach, making sure that everyone benefits from every meeting, every encounter. It's a great outlook to have. His sat-nav approach to goal setting, being completely aware of where you are now, and then what is needed for you to get to where you want to get to. The importance of time management and how to use it effectively each day to get the most out of each day and be highly productive. And then success coming from action. How he reviewing everything you do, every meeting, every task, every situation. By reviewing it, how can you get better so when it comes around next time, you are doing it at a better level and performing better for maximum productivity. So there's some key take-home points in an episode which has lots of value, and the episode's coming up now, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. My guest today is Hugo Heyer. Hugo, thanks so much for coming on.
Wonderful to be here.
Before we get into it, so I always like to say, like, how do you want me to introduce the guest? I always find out a bit about the guest. If I don't know them, obviously I know you, so I'm aware of the cool stuff you've done, but wanted to get your thoughts on it. So you sent me through a quote as well within what to describe it, which I thought was amazing. So I'm going to introduce you on the quote I've got here, which is cool.
Go on.
So everyone is born a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. So that's a great quote. But as you said, like, you're a firm believer in that statement. So because, like, whether he drove a forklift truck in the docks, planned transports to France, or whether he chaired a board meeting in the boardroom, you've realised that everyone in a team has different skills, and that once you tap into those skills, That's when the magic happens. And I think it's so refreshing in a corporate environment, that type of statement, because one, which I'm going to delve into a little bit more around company culture, how that can be
Absolutely.
That can go wrong. So just add a little bit, and obviously you're Dutch born, and you said bear the funny accent, but you know, it's cool, we understand it, yeah. But you know, you have an impressive portfolio, like education, training, experience, and I think things like you've experienced in various European countries, which is, I think, probably holding the reason why you're doing so well with your job, because you've seen different cultures and different people. Only that experience must lead you to be able to, you know, be good in what you're doing because of that experience you've had.
Yeah, especially if you realize that in the past you had to go to another country to experience a different culture. But now, of course, well, just look in your own workplace, you probably with your clients that come in, it's not just white Western British people. It's all sorts of that are coming in. And you see that in the workplace as well, that we get to deal now with all sorts of different cultures, with our clients, with our suppliers, with our colleagues. And I think, well, there's a lot to learn there.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get a little bit more on that. Obviously, so your passion, energy for leadership, staff motivation, team empowerment, make you a popular public speaker. I've seen your video, your content's always engaging. It's something we spoke off air, didn't we, about engaging content, which is great. And obviously always thought-provoking, insightful. From time to time, you like to set yourself challenges, which we'll cover today, definitely. When you consider, obviously, dietary, one was a social media challenge, and this summer gone, you cycled 450 miles in a weekend. So that was interesting. I'd love to see the mindset behind that. And I think this is the biggest thing. The last bit to say, obviously, you live in Chelmsford, you've got a wife and three daughters, and you're involved in charitable organisations. So family is obviously hugely important to you.
Yeah.
And that doing charitable work is such a... It's a reflection of you
back.
As a person, you know, giving back, which is great. So, yeah, that's Hugo High. Hugo, anything else you want to add to the introduction?
No, let's get rolling.
Yeah. So, something which I like to find out initially is what you sort of did after college, after university. What was your first job?
Well, it probably starts before that because, I'm the youngest of six. And... I don't think my parents paid much attention to me because, I was the last one in the row, and school was always fairly easy for me, and that is primary school and secondary school. So my dad used to call it "Hugo Three Wheels" through school, and I was just involved in lots of other things. I wanted to work because I wanted to earn money to buy stuff. I enjoyed motorbikes. I enjoyed other stuff. Yeah, when I got to university, actually, I thought I'll apply the same strategy, but obviously that didn't work. So in the first year, I dropped out. There I was, 18 years of age, no qualification. Work experience from all the summer jobs that I did. No qualification.
So dropping out, because again, it's been a really common theme. Hasn't it, Cal? I mean, you've heard, we have people dropped out of university, but they go on to be successful in their business. So it shows that education is not important.
No,
but
because
it doesn't necessarily take you to where you need to go.
Well, I will get to that because obviously at the time I was, I was born and bred in Rotterdam, then the biggest port in the world. So I ended up working in the docks, literally on the quayside, getting my hands dirty. And I went to port school to learn about planning transports, running warehouses and stuff like that. And that was like probably an MVQ level.
To go back to Rotterdam, so at uni, so you after that year, you just come out unqualified, you went and worked on a docks end. That's when you went to the docks and started grafting.
Yeah, and started, going to port school. There is a school in Rotterdam where you just learn how to work in the docks. When I was 21, after 3 years, or 22 probably, I ended up at a Swedish company in the port of Rotterdam to plan transports. Actually, they hired me to sit on the booking desk for lorry drivers. But I think after a week, they thought I probably had a little bit more brain. So They said, maybe you can just plan. And that's when I started planning transports to France. But I quickly realized I'm not going to do this until I retire. So I thought I'd share with the people around me my ambition that one day I'm going to be the managing director.
What was the response?
Yeah, how did that go down? Well, either people shrugged their shoulders or they laughed, or some of them said, well, join the queue, mate, because first a few people need to die or retire before you even get the chance to become manager, let alone to become managing director. But my managing director at the time, which was one of these old school managing directors, had heard about it, and he invited me in to his office, which was this big office at the end of the hall. With a big
desk. Were you nervous walking in?
I was very nervous walking in because I thought, why does he want to see me? And he said, well, Hugo, I hear you want my job. And I said, well, Mr. De Ruyter, that's not what I meant. But obviously, maybe one day, after 20, 30 years, maybe one day I can become a managing director. And he said, well, it's very good to have that ambition. But one of the things you need is a qualification. And that was the motivation I needed, because when I was 18 and I was involved in motorbikes and fireworks and everything, the last thing you think about is that. So also when I went to university and these people were talking about price calculations and everything, you think, well, why do you need to know this in life? So I didn't have the motivation when I was 18, but when I was 22 and my managing director at the time said it, I signed up for Open University the same day, and I did my bachelor in logistics in 4 years in the evening.
So was that like everyone has like a, they look back on a moment in time when actually the game changed for them, you know, something happened where actually that's when you sort of like switched in. So in your instance, was it that MD telling you that day,
yeah,
you need a qualification, and that's the point, then you actually and shifted in your mindset.
And also when I did the qualification, because, well, at the time I was working in an office where we were working hard. It was like relentless, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, starting early, leaving late.
And what was the pay like then, without going into, was it, you know, 40, 50 hours a week, hard graft, your age, were you getting much?
Oh yeah, no, it was okay for me at the time. I was still living at home.
And I tell you why I lead in that question, and this is what I want to ask you, and this is what I think is fascinating, and I can see how you shaped you and the way you are now. But 18, you leave, no qualifications, you go to the docks, you get your hands dirty for 4 years.
Yeah.
You're grafting, you're putting a lot of hours in, you're probably seeing, you're doing rubbish jobs, you're seeing a bit of everything. How of much of that 4 years experience of getting your hands dirty, you know, long hours, helps you now in business?
Well, I think that because even if you look at the work, when I was 9, I was doing a paper round for my brother. When I was...
So you've always had a good work ethic then?
I've always, yeah, because when you're the youngest of six, if we wanted stuff, my parents said, well, you have to earn it yourself. There was no silver spoon, because I don't think my parents even had a silver spoon for themselves, let alone to feed.
So good lessons there.
It was in the summer holiday, you had 6 weeks off, and for 6 weeks I was, and even the delivery of the newspapers, I did that even until I got my first job, 6 days a week. I got up at 5 to do a paper round. And sometimes people said, well, but that's silly. Why are you still doing that? And I thought, well, yeah, it was at the time 1,000 guilders a month, which was a lot of money, because I delivered the papers to all the shops. So at one stage I was doing it with a car. And yeah, it was just part of life. So even if you now look back and also... the things that I'm involved in now, sometimes people look, well, you've been involved in so many things. I'm 45 now. But that is, of course, also because in all those formative years, during school, but also at the beginning of my career, I think that work ethic is absolutely
definitely
coming through.
Definitely.
Because that is also when I did my study. That was also the time I was getting married. We had our first child. So now looking back sometimes, working 60, 70 hours a week, starting a family, doing your Open University in the evening, sometimes I wonder now, how did I combine all of that?
Yeah.
But it worked.
It worked, yeah, and you did it, and you find a way.
And you find a way, and I think...
And it's important to you as well, and something which I think I try and say when I'm talking to clients in the gym, what's important to you? Why do you want to achieve results? Why do you want to get healthier and fitter and lose weight? What's the real reason behind it? If you can find the real reason why it's so important to you, then you get real purpose. Then you can attach that emotion to what you're trying to do. And it makes it much more valuable. And then to have passion, be passionate and enjoy what you're doing, I think it's really important. And hearing you say that, you know, 67 hours a week, but you had a family, you were willing to put the work in, you realised that you wanted to get qualified, you wanted to become an MD, you had this ambition, you had real purpose, so then it leads you to put those hours in, put the work in, you know?
And
no one's successful, sorry to you, no one's successful has done 10-hour weeks and that. There's been work behind it, there's graft. People don't see that. Well, I'm not saying people don't see it. Of course they see it, but maybe don't realise the effort it takes.
And
the graft you've had to put in to get to where you get to.
And that is, of course, when you look at goal setting. And it's interesting, yesterday evening, I was at the Jack Patchy Awards evening. Two of my daughters have won the Jack Patchy Award.
You must be proud.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's interesting to see that those contributions that I grew up doing and giving back, that also for the children, it's something that I think just comes naturally, which I think is great. But Jack Patchy, he was on screen and he was talking about that goal setting. You don't get in the car just for a drive. You actually, when you get in the car and when you look at the sat nav, it says, so where do you want to go? And it calculates from where you are to where you're going. And I think that is in goal setting so important, that first of all we need to be clear about where we're going, but also where are you now, because I think that is what sometimes people forget.
So looking at goals, if you're setting goals, and this interesting one because of the line of work you're in and the way you work with business owners and the work you do, what's your approach to setting goals and achieving them goals? Do you have like a simple structure that you can share, which I know people pay you money for, but a simple structure can share, something that you can, this is how I set a goal, and this is how we get to that goal.
Well, if
the sat nav example.
Well, if I can comment first on what you said about, well, what we're sharing, because even if you look at my live videos that I did, the Daily Dose of Dutch, which I did a couple of years ago, I've never held back on sharing there. And if you see that even the stuff that, I share with my clients and that they're paying me for, a lot of this stuff is available anyway. I've not come up with anything new. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. And I believe also that when you look at leadership, when you look at goal setting, when you look at time management, all these things have been said before.
Yeah.
Because even if you look at leadership and what Aristotle has said about leadership, then we got Drucker, and then we got Ken Blanchard, and then John Maxwell and Robin Sharma, and they're all just repeating the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also here just to repeat the same stuff, and I always hope that whenever I share it, that it resonates with people and that they take action and they do something with it. So I'm happy to share anything.
Yeah.
Because I also believe that when people say, hey, actually, that is very useful, maybe there's more to hear there.
I'm a firm believer in that. I mean, for me, I'm always putting just lots of content out there, way I can help people, because that I'm passionate about that.
Mm.
That's important to me. And I'm putting content out, not because I want them to then get in touch, but, you know, if someone wants to work with me or the gym or whatever it may be, then I go, oh, I like what he's talking about. I can work with him. So, that, you know, that's the way it goes, you know. But you're not like you, and I can see that in your content. You're very similar to me, is where put out there and just help people. And if they get something from it, that's amazing, because that's what we want to do. It's like this podcast. And I want people to get things from the podcast. If it helps them, great. And if I connect with them, great. I want to, you know, it's nice to connect with people and hear what they've enjoyed and what they've found valuable.
And when I started with the coaching 6 years ago, I just put quotes out on Facebook. And we had a bit of a discussion with some other coaches, as in, well, yeah, but that's just for the happy few. It's always the same people reading that and everything. And I thought, well, we got a calendar from a client and he had a quote on the calendar every day. So I was simply just typing that quote on my Facebook page. And suddenly I got a text from somebody saying, mate, I really appreciate those quotes. It's so inspiring. And every morning I just look at your page and I'm inspired by those quotes. And he signed up to become one of my clients later on. And you just think, so the fact that one person doesn't like it, and some people might say, I never listen to a podcast. Well, don't make that put you off to do podcasts, because there might be one person that is listening to this podcast and thinks, actually, yeah, it helps me. And I think that is also when we look at goal setting. Set your goal. Yes, listen to the people that give you, because I think normally the intention is that people give you good advice. They want to help you.
Yeah.
But also be absolutely, have a very good filter, that when you meet the naysayers and when you meet the people, well, I've tried that and it didn't work, so why are you trying it? Well, maybe you tried it in a different world. And actually, you're a different person. So, yeah, be clear where you want to go, but also, yeah, listen to the people, but filter everything you hear and review what they're saying. Is it going to help you reach your goal? Then listen to it. But if they just want to put you off it, then just move on, smile at them, and wish them all the best of luck in the rest of their life.
Yeah, and so what advice you give to people? Because I know it's like, some people will worry about what others are going to say, putting content on social media, putting something out there they believe in. And it's like, but don't worry about what people are going to say. Forget that, you know. Why? They're not relevant. Like you said, the guy texting you or the person that texts you saying or messaged you, thanks for the quotes every day, that's the reason you're doing it.
Mm.
So what advice can you give to someone to not worry about it? Is there anything? Is there any advice, you know? Because people are going to think, oh, should I put something out there or not? Or
just put it out there. If I look at the slack that I've had when I did my daily dose of Dutch. So just let's jump to that. Jump to that, because when we talk about challenges, because I think that is part of goal setting, and probably people have heard about SMART goals. So they need to be specific, measurable, realistic. A stands for achievable, but I often use it as it needs to be ambitious. Make it ambitious. Realistic, and it needs to be with a time. So by when? By when do you want to do it? And when you look at, somebody challenged me about doing a live video every day. And he said, Hugo, I challenge you to do that a whole year every day. And I thought, a whole year? So that's 365 consecutive live videos. And I thought, yeah, I'm up for that. What's the worst thing that can happen? So 2 years ago, I just started doing it, and I completed the challenge. Now, if you hear the slack that I've had for doing that,
so what type of slack would you get?
And sometimes it's even from the people closest to you, because just my daughters, they don't want to see their father on a live video trying to be cool. Of course, there were people at school that actually said, well, you really have a cool dad. I've watched his videos. Well, as a 14-year-old, you don't want to hear that.
No, you don't want to hear that. Yeah.
Or I'm always tweeting on Twitter. And when your classmates say, well, it's always really nice that when there's evenings and events at school that your dad is always putting stuff out, you don't want to hear that. So even sometimes from the people closest to us,
they might not
like what they see. But then the thing is, it's not for them. It's not for my family. It is for my clients. It's for potential clients. And if one person, and I've had, of course, more than one person, because if you look at the whole year, the videos have been watched about 65,000 views.
Yeah, fantastic.
About 100-150 views a day. So clearly there were people that did like it.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that is also what we need to be, that we need to be clear of, that first of all, do you believe in it yourself?
And that's really important, isn't it? You know, the messaging, you know, not smart goals or, you know, body transformation, you know, if I relate to fitness, you got to do 9-week program and do this and you're going to say you're going to eat this, do that. But if that's not your ethos, your mantra, what you believe in, that's not your approach, or just because you think people are going to want to hear it, you're going to get caught out, aren't you?
Mm.
Because you've got to stay true to yourself. Share content and advice relevant to you, which you know. Staying in your lane, not trying to say something just because people want to hear it, which is what you've done. So 365 days to do that. If you try to be anything other than yourself, you'd have probably come up short. But you're staying true to yourself.
And
that's a
I've
real
learned,
good message for people, listen, you know, about content, getting it out there.
And I've learned so much along the way. When we were talking before, we were talking about how we grow and develop. If I look at Daily Dose of Dutch number 11, and I compare that with Daily Dose of Dutch number 360, it's a world of difference.
Yeah.
And then people say, oh, well, I wish I could speak like you on a video, so comfortable and so relaxed. And do you script it? I said, no, I don't script it. I just, oh, wow, but how do you organize it like that? And you think, well, I've practiced it 350 times.
That's what I mean. It's just doing it and learning along the way. Similar to the podcast, you said, you know. First one, two, little bit. I'm improving.
Mm.
So I asked your feedback before we started, because I really value anyone giving me feedback, constructive, you know, whether I listen to it or not. It's up to the person, isn't it? But when you value someone's opinion, they give you it. It's really important. Can you learn from that? But if I worried about it, I wouldn't do it. I knew it wasn't going to be good at 1, 2, and 3. Even now, we've done 8. This is probably going to be number 9, 10, or 11. Obviously, I've done a couple. I'm going to get better. I'm listening back and try and improve on it.
Key thing is, you did it. So you took action. And when we're looking at goal setting, and when we're looking at achieving our goals, and when we're looking at challenges in life, it is about taking action. And then the next important thing for me always is to review. So you get a result. Maybe it's a result you like, maybe it's a result you don't like. Then review that result and say, okay, so what could I do different? What could I do better? What do I need to stop doing? And when you do that constant review, and I think we need to do that review daily. I do it with my clients weekly or monthly. Depends on how often the frequency that they see me. But that's the review that I do. So you took action. So I hold you accountable for taking action, and you do that exactly in the gym, because you're standing there and you want them to do taking action. That's why they come and see you. And then once you've taken action, you get a result, and then you review that result. So what can I do better? What can I do more? What can I do different?
Yeah, and that's great advice for anyone listening. And I think, you know, you've set a goal. There's actions that are going to lead you towards the goal. There's reviewing each action, each progress point. If it's gone well, great. Keep moving forward. Or if it hasn't gone well, learn from it. That's what you're saying. And then you're still working towards that goal. But you're going back to the people. Yeah, it's all out there on the internet now. You can capture this, you know, smart goals and coaching and all of that. But the value in having a coach is that someone who you build a rapport with. There's the accountability, and there's someone that's actually there analysing what you're doing and then helping you to reshape that to make sure it still stays in line with your goal and that you're not going off course. And that's the value which books or people, even if you're saying the same things, that's the differentiator, isn't it?
And I think also, if you look at what is out there at the moment, I think we are so privileged. But we're also spoiled, because there is so much material out there. I can't keep up with the books I want to read and the podcasts that I want to listen, because that is the thing now with podcasts. I always have a few in the queue, to listen. But then somebody recommends me a book, and yeah, I want to listen to that book as well.
Yeah.
So but the thing is with what the stuff that is available, it's not about reading the book, but it is about taking action. And one of the examples that I've used with clients before, because I worked with a client, he attended every seminar that was defined. So when there was a workshop, every free seminar that was organized by a coach or a leadership organization or whatever, he went there, sat in, listened to it, went back to his business, didn't do anything with it. And he came to see me and he said, well, I've been to all this stuff, but it doesn't really work for my business. So he said, What are you going to do different? I said, I'm not going to do anything different. The question is, what are you going to do different? Because I often use the example of baking a cake. If you want to bake a cake, you have to get some ingredients and you have to get some recipes. Or actually, you only need one recipe to bake a cake. But until you go into the kitchen baking that cake, you will find out whether you're able to bake that cake or not and whether you can eat it. And I meet a lot of people, all they do is get different recipes. So they go out for the next six-step program. Yeah. They go to the shop and they get all sorts of different ingredients because this ingredient is really going to help me bake my cake. No, going in the kitchen, baking your cake, that is going to give you a cake. And I think when we're looking at business, when we're looking at the gym, it's not about what you read about it, it's actually what you go and do, and that is I think in business the important thing. Take action and then look, well, maybe I need a different ingredient, maybe I need a different recipe, but you have to start taking action first.
Yeah, it's really good. I love the cooking analogy. I'll use that one.
Yeah, go for
it's
it.
It's a great one. No, action's so important. I mean, I've done, you know, I talk about it a lot with clients here in the gym. I share content around action and stuff, and it's the only way. And someone would say to me about learning, God, you hear you journal and hear you read daily and listen to podcasts and learning. That's fine. So knowledge is good, but knowledge without action is totally irrelevant. So if I'm listening to something, if I'm listening to something or I'm reading a book, I make notes against that book. I'll then reread maybe that chapter and make sure I've understood it, because I only ever read business or learning or fitness or whatever book's relevant to me, because I love it. A, I love it, and B, it's helping me and my clients. So the important thing is to take action or make sure you've understood what you're learning to implement it. So knowledge is irrelevant without the action. So,
and it's interesting, because if we go back to, so I wanted to become managing director, but I did my bachelor in the evening, and then I did some project work and stuff like that. So I did different tasks in the company, and then 10 years after I started, so that was in 2008, I was appointed managing director for the UK and Ireland. And the thing is, when I look back, what I was reading at the time, I wasn't reading anything because I didn't like reading, and I was a podcast weren't invented, so I didn't do any of that. So when I became managing director, I started working with a coach here in the UK. And one of the first things he asked me was, well, Hugo, so why do you think they made you managing director? And I thought, that's an excellent question. I said, well, I must have done something right, and I guess I have been lucky. And he said, that's interesting. So you think they make you managing director, company, 60 employees, 12 million turnover, because of luck? And I thought, yeah, that doesn't make sense either. And what he did, he took me through a process to help me review what I have done right. And he introduced me to audiobooks, because like I said, I didn't like reading. And he said, so how many miles a year do you drive? I said, about 20,000. He said, why don't you listen to an audiobook? I thought, an audiobook? What's that? He said, well, somebody reads the book for you. So, and interesting enough, in 2009 that was, I started with Pride and Prejudice. So that's how I learned some of my English. Yeah, capital, yeah, capital, yeah, capital. Yeah. But yeah, I got introduced to audiobooks. And what fascinated me was when I started reading these books or listening to these books, that is actually where things fell into place, because then I started to understand. I listened to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I listened to all these things, So be proactive, begin with the end in mind, first things first, think win-win. And I was listening to it thinking, yeah, I've done all of that. Actually, this is somebody that has written things down that I have always applied.
Yeah.
So with a lot of the books that I read, it was not like suddenly, oh, well, that sounds amazing. It was more or less like a recognition.
Yeah.
Hey, these people have actually written down what
well,
I
that gives you, believe it gives in. The reinforcement gives you the confidence that what you're doing is right. Doesn't it? It really does.
That was one thing, and I think the second thing that it helped me was also to be able to do it again. And that is also when, because, well, you remember 2008 wasn't a particularly great year.
Oh, tough.
To run a company, wherever it was in the world, but also in the UK. And, well, I got the clear objectives by my president in Sweden to grow the business, become more profitable and more productive. But then one of the things that I also learned...
Was that a big challenge? Was that a big one of your biggest challenges?
Yeah, it was... I didn't experience it as a challenge at the time. I worked for the same company in Holland. I always had lots of ideas. How can I improve the business? But in Rotterdam, I was always blocked by other people. So I could never really do my own thing. So when I came to the UK and I got my own P&L here... I thought, well, now I can do my own stuff. And we had the four most successful years in the history of the company, despite the crisis.
Mm.
And I think one of the key things there is you can either, when things don't work, you can come up with an excuse. And I could have come up with lots of excuses. Come on, the economy, the fuel prices, you name it. We were in logistics and shipping. So I could have come up with many, many excuses. Why not? Why it couldn't work. But the one thing I constantly ask myself, so how can I make this work? Because, and that is also when it comes to challenges.
But that's such a positive outlook, and our mindset, our perception of a situation is key. It's so important.
It is.
You saying that is huge. Just that reframing, not, I'm in the financial crisis core, this is how is this going to work in this struggling time? Just the reframing of what do I need to do to make this work?
What can we? What
it's just
can
a reframing of the reframing, telling yourself the situation, positive slant on it. Well, look, for the best years the company had over that time,
and that is also
that's huge though. That's what I think people, you know, I think we probably met a few years ago and stuff, and you always that you know with that, you know, something really stood out to me. It was like that. You had that personable side, that enthusiastic and motivated side, and I think when you're working with people, what you're doing, you need that, you know. Yes, people can read books and they can do all of that, but it's those little qualities in you that is the reason why you've done really well. You know, it struck me when we met a few years ago.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, but what I realized was also that you can't do it alone. And that quote that if we judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it lives its whole life, that it's stupid. What I realized was that when I involve everybody in the team in this quest, in this challenge, let's say this crisis that we're facing, well, we will come on top. And that is, of course, I'm sure you've heard about the quote, where they believe you think you can or you can't, you're probably right.
Yeah.
And it is accredited to I think 100 different people.
Yeah.
But when you look at that quote, so whether you believe you can or you can't, you're probably right. And that comes down to mindset. And so often I've heard people say, I couldn't do that. Or I would never be able to do that. And my first question is always, so have you tried? No, I haven't tried. Well, how do you know you can't do it? I like to quote my late grandmother. I've never met her, but my father used to quote her because she used to say if somebody said, well, that you can't do that, she would say, what can't be done has never happened. And
love
that is
that.
And that is
that.
Just that is often so. Okay, so you used to think we can't do this. Well, let's try.
So your positivity come from you as just you, the way you, it's just almost in your DNA, the way you were born, the way you're wired, or have you learned to be more positive as you've gone along?
No, it's probably, I've always probably been wired like that, because I always made sure that I enjoyed what I was doing.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, when you're 14, the things that you enjoy when you're 14 are maybe not compliant with going to secondary school and being in a, well, I've been brought up in a Christian family. So yeah, a lot of the things that you want to do when you're 14, 15, 16 are not in line with that. But then on the other hand, over the years, I've probably, matured. Although sometimes, yeah, I still like to think that, I very much like to think that it's important that we enjoy what we do. And yeah, sometimes just be mad. And
Yeah. But it does. But actually being mad, it just takes the pressure off always being serious and work, doesn't it? It actually probably makes your work more productive, because you can be a bit crazy, break the cycle. Oh, that's fun. Right, back to work now. Maybe brings your focus back.
And also...
You know, and I get it. I get that. Yeah, I think it's great.
The element of fun, I think there is a difference between fun and folly. And I think you can be... you can have fun.
Yeah.
And whether it's a board meeting or whether I'm in a trustees meeting or in a school governor meeting, sometimes people look at me like, oh, well, yeah, actually, so we can have a laugh here. Of course we can have a laugh here. We can't joke. Then what's...
But so do you think, I mean, there's so many things, because you're such an interesting guy, Hugo, and there's so many things I want to ask you, and I'm just trying to keep in the podcast, but one of the things which, I'm going to come on to habits in a minute, because we've sort of briefly touched on it, but do you find that's why you've got best out of teams? So you're talking about people playing the right positions, so getting people to do the right jobs for the right skills,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is important. Obviously, football's my background.
Yeah.
So I use the football analogy of people playing the right positions. I'm not going to put my goalkeeper up front, because he's there to save goals, not score goals. So yes, playing people in the right positions is really important. But the other part of having that fun element, so that people you're working with, the company culture has that shared goal of what we're trying to achieve, people playing the right positions so they're valued, they're doing the right jobs, and then the fun element is almost like the icing on the top. Do you find that's really important in company culture?
Yeah, and I think I'm working with an organization, I'm doing leadership, a leadership event actually in November, and that is, well, that embraces the philosophy that everybody matters, about truly human leadership.
Yeah.
And when we look at teams, playing people in the right positions, yes, but it's also important to listen to what people have to say. And I think that is what leadership is about. So if I have to make a simple distinction between management and leadership, management is we tell people what to do. Leadership, we ask people for their opinion. We give them a voice. Because that is, I think, the difference between people and things. People have a voice. And they like to share their opinion.
Yeah, and it's like people take ownership of that. And again, I love that, and I'm such a firm believer in that. You know, people at the gym here, so what we do in terms of... So goes back to, say, goals, and so people have got their what they want to achieve. And that's great. And then there's... basically putting actions in place and to achieve it. But if I just said to a client, right, you want to achieve that, you've got to do this to get there. Possibly do it depending on how compliant and how adherent, how self-motivated they are. But if we go, right, so that's where you want to get to. What out of these areas do you want to address, nutrition, exercise, whatever? List them. Great. What's most important to you?
Mm-hmm.
Question asked. Great, that's there. Okay, so out of these things, two or three actions, what actions do you think you might need on that? Great, three actions. Right, out of them three actions, what one do you think you can achieve now? So suddenly, yes, we've got a goal. Mm. We've created a list of actions to get to that goal, but it's been chosen by, in my client, in your case,
mm-hmm.
an employee, you're being a leader. And then, so they took ownership of that. So the point I'm trying to make is, it's like you're creating the action, they're creating the action, you're just guiding them to it. Because they've taken ownership of that, they'll see it through, they're much more bought into it. And you find, so that's my analogy, bringing it into the workplace where you're talking about leadership and management, do you find that works if the employees are part of the decision making and the input?
Yeah, because well, again, even if you look with your clients, so because one of the other things that is very important, so whether we believe we can or we can't, we're probably right. I think it's also important sometimes to have people around us that believe that we can, because even when we don't believe it ourselves, we want other people, sometimes we need other people to believe in it. And that is the thing what you do with your clients, because they might come here and think, well, I could never do that. But you instantly probably say, well, I think you can. And they go away thinking, well, all these things I can, so maybe actually I can do it. And that is, I think, where our mindset becomes...
So like a reassurance, like an advice board, a soundboard, just for them if they've got any concerns, and reassure them you can do it for those bad that is important.
And then that proactiveness and that mindset becomes infectious.
Yeah.
And what I've seen also when I came here in 2008, the organization hadn't had any change for 40 years. They were just went through the motions. That's probably also why they weren't in a particularly good state. And a lot of the people there, they probably didn't even know what they wanted, because nobody had ever asked them. And I came in and I started asking all those questions. And a lot of them have gone on to do brilliant jobs and having great jobs in other companies now. Because I wanted to help them develop. A key word for me is potential. I think there is so much potential, and sometimes I'm ashamed about the way we educate our children at the moment, because what we actually do is we take all that potential away, we take that creativity away. Every year I post a video by Sir Ken Robinson, a TED video about how schools create creativity, because he says all that schools do nowadays is conformity and compliance. This is the mold we need to fit in, and we put everybody through the system. And he said we need to move again from conformity and compliance to creativity and curiosity.
But like you said, company culture, getting people to think about, people that play in the right positions, but company culture, getting people to buy into it, getting people to bring ideas to the table, that sharing, that encouraging culture, it's lost in, yeah, that's great in the workplace, but we're wiring children at secondary schools to not be like that, so, and that's real problem, you want people to express themselves. It's so refreshing to hear you say that, it really is, I really believe it. I want to ask you about daily habits. Yes. You mentioned habits and actions. Do you have any daily habits you can share? Business, personal habits.
Well, probably the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is grabbing a cup of coffee. I love my coffee, as you heard.
Yeah.
I start with I'm still a Christian. I'm still a believer, and it's very important for me to start the morning with a bit of reading. A bit of prayer, some people might call it meditation, other people might do yoga, but I think it's very important to do that at the beginning of the day.
What time are you getting up?
Normally about 6 o'clock.
Yep.
So
coffee, prayer.
I have the privilege, or I think it's a luxury that I can do with less sleep. Sometimes people wonder, do you ever run out of energy? So far I don't. So if I get about 5-6 hours sleep,
you're good.
I'm
you're
good.
Cracking on.
And it's I think it's I heard the example once that we still need to be like children. Children don't like to go to bed in the evening. They say, "What do I need to go to bed already?" Yes. And in the morning, even on a Saturday or a Sunday, 7 o'clock, they're out of bed, they're excited, ready for the new day. And I think that is so important to keep that mindset. Are you excited?
Doing what works for you. So your other habits. Tell me some of your other daily habits, Hugo.
Well, I think when we're looking at habits, it's something that we do repeatedly. And I mentioned to you one of the books that had a very big influence is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I think that is part of the habits that I have about being proactive, about beginning with the end in mind. So set yourself a goal. First things first. So make sure that you look at the priorities in life. We have 168 hours a week, and we choose what we do with it. not our partners, not our children, not our bosses, not our clients. We choose what we do with those 168 hours. And well, people might be sitting there listening, thinking, yeah, but I have a boss and he wants me to come in 40 hours a week. Well, fair enough, but that means it leaves you 148 hours or 128 hours to do other stuff. And when you add all these things up, I think we need to become much more conscious about what we do with our time.
Yeah,
because it's ours.
I totally agree.
And it's our choice. Another habit, the fourth habit, is think win-win. I think that, and that is what I've applied, whether I was talking to the unions, because I had to deal with the unions in Tilbury, whether we're talking to clients, in whatever relationship, if we think win-win, if recording this podcast, I think it's a win for me, it's a win for you, and if our listeners win from it, well, how wonderful is that?
So, in any conversation, any business encounter, everyone winning.
I want when we go out, the meeting room, the boardroom, or whatever, I want everybody to think, hey, this is a good deal. So not like, well, I got the best out of it, or because that is sometimes people confuse win-win with compromise. I don't think it's about compromising. It is actually about, so how can we come to a solution where everybody wins? Stephen Covey talks about the third alternative. So is there something that we are missing? Another thing, of course, which is habit five, is first seek to understand before you want to be understood. So listen, and that is still something I'm learning.
Yeah, me too.
But it is one of my Jane Edsett Grant. I do these seminars, these leadership seminars with.
So listening before acting and saying something first.
But she wrote a book, Are You Listening or Are You Waiting to Speak? And I think that is such a fantastic question. Are you listening or are you waiting to speak? Are we truly listening and trying to understand what people mean, or are we jumping to conclusions?
You mentioned obviously Rupert Miles, who's been a previous guest, Sat and Learn. I've been on his side, I'm an advocate of his work he's doing. He's a client here of mine, I'm a client of his as well and stuff. But one of the things that he's taught is wait. Why am I talking? Because if you're talking with a client, then you're not understanding them. If you're talking in a situation, then you maybe not be missing something to learn and missing information. So why am I talking?
So absolutely.
Listening is a really good one. Great. Any other habits you want to share? There's some brilliant ones there already.
Let's do six then as well. Yes. Which is synergize, work as a team. Everybody can bring something to the table, and that in a team that can be the cleaner, the manager, the team leader, the forklift driver, everybody can actually bring something. And the question is, are we prepared to stop and listen and say, hey, what contribution can you make to this solution? What ideas do you have? Because I've heard some wonderful things from people that I would least expect it from.
And that goes back to what you said about leadership and management, you know, management, managing people, leadership, you know, which you spoke about. And I think it's great because, you know, you mentioned people having the right skill sets, paying the right positions, so that's important, but also having the right skill sets important, but that everyone's playing their part in a team environment, and that's how the company culture is great, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then this last habit, well, sharpen the saw.
Yeah.
It's about, well, keep learning, keep developing. Just put your hand up and say, I don't know, but I will find out. I met a professor, I know him quite well, but he is known as the I don't know professor, because he is in his 70s now. In his topic, he is considered to be, let's say, the master. He has written all the books, but he is also known as the I don't know professor, because that is he's the one that dares to put his hand up and say, I don't know the answer to that, but let's discover what the answer
might
be. That
shows humility, doesn't it? That
Absolutely.
Shows real humility, and actually people buy into that, because you might be the expert in your field, I might be the expert in fitness, or people see it, but we don't know the answers. And if you're it shows a bit of vulnerability, which I think is really important.
And that, I think part of leadership, that is humility, vulnerability, and probably that is also what we're lacking at the moment when we're looking at leadership. Yeah, we're missing that humility. We're missing people that actually say, well, let me listen to you because maybe you have something valuable to contribute.
Buy into that. And so obviously have a cup of coffee and you pray, very important to you. It's a personal thing that's probably going to help you be more positive and productive in your day. Is there anything else you do in your daily habits, a routine that you can share that you feel is quite important or value, anyone listening that works for you?
Well, one of the things that is, and I don't do it daily, but I do it quite regularly, is writing in my journal. So I thought, well, I did bring it. So I got my little black book.
Yeah.
And the question is always, I always say to people, because this is one, so it's normally about 10 months in here. So seminars, anything, people I meet up, reflections, whatever is in here. If you ever get hold of one of my black books.
That's valuable info in there.
This goes
back to something you said earlier in the podcast, where the self-reflection of things is something that's been really important to you, where every encounter you review it. So we spoke about, you know, you said about the goal setting and stuff like that, reviewing at each stage. So actually, go to a seminar, review it, what have you learned?
Write it down.
You've got something to look back on to get better, to improve.
And because that is so often, and I advise or recommend people when I give seminars or workshops, to write it down. Because even if people have been listening to this podcast, if you think, so what have we been talking about? What have we been sharing? Well, yeah, you might recall a few things, but most of it is gone. So write it down, because then I sometimes, when I go to a seminar, somebody else's seminar, and I take notes and I look back the next day, I don't even remember I took the notes. So otherwise, that information would have lost.
We forget. I think it's brilliant advice that you're giving there. Totally get it.
Also, when you look at the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, surely a lot of them you can just relate. Yeah. You can relate back to his lessons. But a little bit closer to home, if you look at some authors that have had a big impact, one of them is Jim Rohn.
Great.
I just need to listen to him from time to time, because I think his lessons and what he shared and the way he shared it.
But the thing is, I agree, he's brilliant. But these are the things I think, you know, which you said, something else struck me, you said earlier in the podcast, you said about, you know, we can read this stuff, you know, we're all saying the same things. True, but the reason people buy into you is because your energy infuses and the way you say it. He's another one, like, isn't it? The way his messaging, the way it's said, the way he speaks, you really buy into that.
It's
really important. Yeah,
and but clearly you do.
Of course, but not everyone's going to do that. But people like that, or the people, the hero, and this is why it's interesting, I like finding out from people, or the heroes, or the people we hold in high regard, it's the way they're saying it, their enthusiasm, their energy, we find it very relatable, and that's what's really important. Yes, we can. 10 people can say the same bit of advice, but we're going to buy into maybe someone else doing it more than others.
Mm. And because I've referred people to Jim Rohn, and one colleague, he actually wrote it in a recommendation on my LinkedIn page, my former finance manager, and he thought actually it was a comedian. He turned it off. He said, that American accent, that American comedian. I said, what American comedian? He said, Jim Rohn. I said, that's not a comedian. Man, the guy is one of the biggest influences in my life. You call him a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way he puts things, it's a combination
of... It's relatable though, isn't it?
It is.
It's relatable and understanding it. And, you know, we're going back goals and actions and smart goals and all of this. And we all hear it a lot. But again, for me in the gym, it's... understanding human behaviour, how people will learn, but giving people ownership of stuff. So, yeah, smart goals and all that, but making it relatable.
For them.
For them, and that's what's really important. That's what I find really important about people we're working with here or anything you do, and I can see in your work you do and the way you are. It's making it relatable to them so they understand it, they take ownership of it. So that's what I'm trying to get across. It's really important, and that's evident in you and the gym runs and all those things you're saying. These people have their way.
And I think that is...
Of articulating it.
I think Rupert is talking about it as well, and I'm sure that also in the Sandler training that is what comes across. It's about them. It's never about us.
Yeah.
When I'm speaking, and I speak at various places, I'm speaking in prison at least once a month. It's not about me. It's about them. So my message needs to be relatable to them. If they can't relate to what I say, then it's no good. When I talk to 14-year-olds, tomorrow morning I'm speaking at the assembly at Velsted, which is a school not far from here.
No, no.
What I'm saying needs to be relatable to them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
I get it.
So it's not about us, but our body.
Yeah.
So it is looking after the body. It is about staying fit, taking care of it. When to love is about what we do with our heart, the people around us, loving about what we do. So to live, to love, to learn, of course, very important for me because we learn with our mind. So it's also to keep our mind sound in the stuff that we read. And I mean that I also read stuff that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
But I like to read it sometimes to reinforce what I do believe, but also to learn what other people have to say on the topic. And ultimately to leave a legacy, which is what we do with our passion and with our spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy. That is also what it's about, our body, our heart, our mind and our spirit.
Yeah, love it. It's great. It's important to have the words, and you've said about quotes and you've said about, you know, these people and stuff and analogies and motivate. I think they're really important to have, and it gives you perspective on life as well, you know, if you can have these reference points. So I think that's great. What do I want to ask you? What's the best bit of business advice you've ever had?
Well, I've been referring to it now quite a few times. It is advice that I got when I must have been about 13 or 14. So I was doing some summer work, but a good friend and mentor who was already retired at the time, he gave me the advice, Hugo, if you want to progress in your career, always make sure there is somebody else that is able to do your job. So when you want to progress in your career, always make sure there is somebody else that is able to do your job. Now, what I have encountered and what I see all the time with my clients is that people are trying to hold on what they know. They try to hold on to that job. They don't want to share that job because they're afraid of being made redundant, or they're being afraid of being made obsolete or feel inferior. So it is completely opposite. It is about, well, make sure that you can teach somebody else how to do your job. Not so they make you redundant, but actually so you can progress to the next step.
Yeah.
And when I talk to my clients and when I train teams of my clients, that is always coming back. Make sure that other people around you know your stuff. Share it, because that allows you, that frees you up to move up.
Yeah. Hugo, it's been absolutely fantastic catching up with you. What if people want to connect with you, have you got any projects going on at the moment? If so, share them. Have you got anything you want to add? And if people want to connect with you, how they can find you? I'll leave all of this in the notes anyway.
Yeah, so, well, they can either go to my website, which is hugohai.com, or send me an email, hugo@hugohai.com. One project that is going on is on Monday, the 18th of November, I'm organizing a leadership seminar in London, which the theme is Inspire Like a Leader. So if you want to hear more of this stuff,
joined by my son Rafa now here.
So if you want to hear more of this stuff, if you think, well, the stories have been inspirational and you want to learn more about listening skills and coaching,
that sounds great. And that's on the 18th of November.
Wow.
Okay. And then tickets can be, where can they get tickets for that?
Well, if you send me an email, because, well, we have an Eventbrite website, and there's another link. If I send you the link, you can go on that website and register an interest.
Well, that'd be good. I'll get them to do that. I'll leave it in the notes. If anyone listening that's interested in that, what I can say is, you guys, the way you are sort of inspiring and motivating, the way you are as a person, that will be an event not to be missed. So I think that'd be a great one. I'll certainly check the diary for myself, because I'd love to, it'd be great to hear you in action and do that. Hugo, from my perspective, thanks so much for coming on today,
mate. Well, thanks for inviting me.
And you've shared some really good stuff. and I know people listening will get some real value from it. So thanks again.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to talk about this stuff because, yeah, like we said before, it's sometimes we need to hear it in a different way with a different accent. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please share it with anyone else you think that might get value. And if you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. It will just help us to reach more people with the podcast. If you want to get the episodes as soon as they're released, then just subscribe to the podcast. And as soon as they get released, you'll get a notification on the podcast platform you use. Once again, thanks to everyone for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me at any time, then just drop me a message on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez. Be great to connect and have a chat with you.